I am talking of a New Year's challenge, and we started, finishing out last year, looking at Mary and Martha, and how Mary did what she could. She took what was in her hands, and she used it to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we looked at where she took that very expensive ointment, or alabaster. Other translations call it something else. And she poured it over him. And then she literally took her hair and wiped it up. And we looked at that, and we asked the question, are we taking what God has placed within our hands and doing for him that which we can? Because that's all. That's all she did. She hath done what she could. That's what Jesus said. Then I went to Philippians, and at the beginning of the new year, I talked about a target, hitting the mark. And the title I put on it is, have you acquired your target? And what are you aiming at? What are we talking about? How are we living our life? Are we living a life that has a living faith? And do people see Christ in us as we live in the communities where God has placed us, as we work to the occupations that God has given us? And can people see Christ in us? And then last week I talked about looking in the mirror, and I've got a mirror out and put it. I got the mirror back here too. I was going to do some things, but I just don't have enough time this morning with the business meeting afterwards, and it's already about 6-7 minutes after 11. Of course, according to that clock, I don't know what my phone booth says. Yep, that's about right. See, so I've got to keep a phone booth in my pocket just in case I need to change into my superhero clothes at all times. But, and so we talked about looking in the mirror, and we looked at the passage, and really it was talking about the contrast between a hearer of the word and a doer of the word. And we talked about the fact is that, are we allowing God's word to change our life? Or are we just listening? And we could listen intently and literally walk away. And how many times do we walk away and forget? Just like a lot of times, if we're in a hurry, we'll look in the mirror and we will forget. And then when you get to where you're at, someone will say, one of the most horrifying things someone can ask you is, have you looked in the mirror today? Right? Have you looked in the mirror today? And if you say yes, then it just baffles them. Yeah, I always wear my hair like this. You know what I mean? Yeah, I just throw it up in the air, and however it comes down, that's it, right? Well, I can comb mine, but the back part here just stands straight out all the time. When I was little, they cast me as a stunt double for Alfalfa on The Rascals because it just stood right up, okay? But anyways, today we're going to talk about the growing believer, because this is, as we are talking about this idea of growing, looking in the mirror. And I was thinking of all the different ways in First Baptist in the last year in which we looked in the mirror. That would mean all the different sermons I preached, all the different studies that the Sunday school teachers did, all the different programs that we used and presented the Word of God to young people and old alike. And so I'm thinking, and I get in a thought process, and as I came to 2 Peter, very interesting, verse 3 is where I want to start. And it's very interesting. It says this, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's a powerful statement. That's one of those all things passages. Now, a lot of times when we look at all things passages, we generally talk about trials in our life. We generally talk about things that are distasteful in our life. But today we're going to look at the exact opposite. We're going to look at the all things where God has made provision for us. Now, we understand that word provision, don't we? Provision means something that is to sustain us, to help us to grow, whether it be the food that we put up in our cupboard, we make sure the oil tank is full as we come into winter, or we make sure that our vehicles are ready for winter. We got the proper air in the tires, and mine says low wash right now because I've been, you drive on the roads when there's a little bit of salt and you're forever washing the thing. So those are provisions to help us with our life, whether it be provisions with clothing, with food and sustenance. But now on a spiritual scale, number one is this, is God has made full provision for the believer. Now that's interesting, because when we think about that, what's he talking about? When we think about the full provision for the believer, it's interesting. One thing around us that is constant in our lives, as well as everyone's lives, is this idea of growing. Right? Growing. Now, I think back to the time when I became a Christian. I was 19 years old. I never really had someone say to me, well, now you're going to be like this little baby, and now you're going to grow. But that's essentially what happened. And as I read the Scriptures, I find over and over and over passages of Scripture that liken a Christian to a growing person, starting off as an infant. And all of us, it's just taken for granted that we grow. But we do this sometimes in our homes, and I was reminded about it watching some show this week where they had on the door jam where they're, okay, here's where I was when I was in third grade, and then here's where I was when I was in fifth grade. And, you know, sometimes parents don't ever want to paint over that aspect of the door jam because they've watched their children grow up around them. And it's with Karen being sick the last couple weeks and myself being under the weather, Blake hasn't come out to the house for quite a while. Why, the last time he was out, he looked, I can see he's changing his looks because we didn't see him. When you see a person every day, the change takes place so subtly, right? Same way as I can remember being in Freeburg, Washington Elementary School, and you'd go down to the nurse's station once a year, and they weighed you, and then they measured you, and they always showed you what your chart said last year, and then, oh, you grew an inch this year. Well, I didn't feel that growing an inch or anything. But one thing that's constant in our life is the fact that we're growing. You say, well now, see, I was 6'2". I don't know if I'm quite 6'2 anymore because I'm growing the other way. And so, can you imagine? I got a call. We'll kill that. That's buzzing. Drives me crazy. Who would be calling me when I'm supposed to be preaching? I should have answered it. Put it on speakerphone. Hey, say hi to everybody. Isn't that wonderful? Now watch, somebody out there will call me here. Okay? I had a guy, Bakerberg, he tried that all the time. He texted me every time I was preaching. He was hoping that I would forget to turn my ringer off just to catch me. But one thing that's constant around us all the time is growing. You say, well, I'm growing up. Yeah, but you're growing old now. Is that not true? Now, we might want to deny that. We might want to reach back and have a midlife crisis. But we're growing. Young people are excited about growing. Older people like us are not so much excited about growing anymore. But it is still taking place. In the spring, the grass grows. Our children and grandchildren, they grow. Weeds grow. Hair grows. To come to think of it, we also are growing, growing older. God has intended, and not only intended, but He has made provision for us as Christians to grow. And here's what I want to say first of all. It's not on your sheet, but it is the most natural thing for a Christian to grow. You say, why? Because it's the most natural thing for us to grow. As a matter of fact, if a person, if that process is interrupted in a person's life, we say that usually that is a special needs person, right? I'm not trying to be ignorant or anything, but that's true. It's the most natural thing for us as believers. Now, I want to challenge you with these thoughts today. I want you to turn back to 1 Peter just for a moment. Chapter 2, just in Peter's first epistle. Because a lot of times what happens is, okay, I've been saved. You know, I've been saved for 40 years now. Wow, that's absolutely incredible. 40 years. And I have to admit, you say, well, then you're a grown-up Christian. Well, I might be grown up. I'm supposed to be mature and maturing. But am I still growing? Am I still growing in my day-to-day walk with Christ? See, that's the question. Is God's Word still changing my life? Is God's Word challenging my life where I am? Because to grow as a Christian is not to just learn things about God, although that is one aspect of it. And we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about that in a week or two to come. But it is a growing in my walk with God day by day. And watch this. As I grow in my physical realm, when I was in my 20s, I had a young family. Was the Word of God challenging me in my situation in which I found us, with the trials, with the temptations, but with the decisions that I had to make as a 20-something-year-old? And then I hit my 30s, and my children were a little older. They entered into their teenage years, right? Whole different set of circumstances enters into our life in our 30s. Same way with our 40s. Except in our 40s, usually, our bodies begin to present themselves to us with circumstances now. And a whole new set of trials to which the Word of God addresses. Amen? So when we talk about growing as a believer, it's more than just learning how many books of the Bible there are and where you can find them very quickly and memorizing a handful of scriptures. It is about my walk with God. My walk with God as a 20-year-old, my walk with God as a 30-year-old, my walk with God as a 40-year-old, my walk with God as a 50-year-old. And you know what? In March, I turned 60. Can't believe it. I look at that and say, wow. That means all the people that I looked at on my paper out when I was growing up, I thought, man, they are older than dust. Now I'm dust. But you know what? I don't even feel that. I feel like I'm 20, 21 years old. So I try to do something, and my body says, whoa, Dave. And then I found a new friend, and his name is called ibuprofen. I call him on a first-name basis all the time. And he helps me quite often. But now, I want us to see something here in 1 Peter chapter 2. Because that's where I had you turn. But as you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, now look at what he says in verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, Peter's writing, and look what he says as he starts that chapter. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and evil and envies and all evil speakings, he's talking about a changed life. He's talking about, and that life Peter likens to as this newborn baby. And it is just so natural for a newborn baby to desire. As a matter of fact, they cry an awful lot for that milk. And that milk sustains them. And, you know, take for instance, now I know you're going to think this is very basic, but I think we need to start. I need to think we'd start with the basics. Nobody would take a six-month-old baby and take him to McDonald's and buy him a Happy Meal. Right? Just doesn't make sense. Well, as a matter of fact, they choke. They get sick. They need that milk, right? They need that milk. Now, you might buy it to get the toy and eat it for them. I understand that. This gives you, oh, I got the Happy Meal here for my, I see my son right here. Yeah, yeah, I got a Happy Meal. Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. Just admit it and get the Happy Meal. Don't have to blame it on the son. Okay, now, here's the thing. The example is that of an infant, the desire to grow. So here's what, provisions for the believer. When God says all things, he's given us all these provisions as believers. But we have to first establish the growing aspect of the believer. You say, well, Pastor, that's really elementary. Yeah, that is. But let me ask you this question. And this is only the question that you can answer for yourself, and only that I can answer for myself. Am I growing? That's it. When I was in grade school growing up, the worst thing that I thought was if I would have to repeat a grade, right? I can remember. And I was always one of these nervous types in school. You know, it's just like, didn't say a whole lot. I know you don't believe that, but that's true. My mom didn't believe that either. But, I mean, there's a difference between being at home and being at school. I would sit there and think, I would look across the hall. I would be in third grade, Mrs. Hazel Snyder's class, and I'd look across to fourth grade, Mrs. Hewitt's, and I'd think, oh, those kids over there are smart. I could never do that. And then if you went downstairs and you walked past Mr. Young's classroom, they were the sixth graders. They were the last ones in the school there, and they were big kids. And I thought, oh, man, I can never do the work of a sixth grader. And I thought, oh, I'll be in third grade the rest of my life. Right? But that process, as you look back on it, it's just a natural process of learning. And when that breaks down, then people have to repeat, right? Whether it be an illness that they didn't learn material or distraction or whatever. Correct? Amen? So now number two is this. God's provision is the evidence of his power. That's what Peter is saying. Now, if we go back to the passage that we are here in 2 Peter, I want you to see something. You know, a lot of times we think, okay, God has provided all of this, but look what God says about it. In God's provision is evidence of his power according as his divine power hath given unto us. It's the power of God. See, this is the power of God. And what I find very interesting is, and this is the bullet here on your sheet, what this is saying is his power energizes us to live holy lives. You say, well, how does that work? I don't know. It just happens. He energizes us. And what happens is we begin to grow. Just as his power saves us in the first place, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1. I want you to see something. Romans chapter 1. Now, when you get there, I want you to go to verse 16. And it says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the," and here we have that phrase again, "for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so what Paul is saying here in the theme of the whole book of Romans is this power of God. He's not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God. If you have come to trust Christ as your Savior, and many of you have, and you give a wonderful testimony, do you know what that is? It is because of the power of God that opened your eyes and showed you your need for Christ. And it's that same power of God that is the provision for you and me to grow as believers. Find that absolutely incredible. What happens sometimes in our life? Well, sometimes it's like this. Well, we get the mentality where, well, I wonder what he's going to preach on this week. But you realize how hard it is to preach all the time and bring challenging messages? Now, I'm not trying to get you on my side. It doesn't matter. Okay? But think about it. If you're reading your Bible and you're studying and you've been saved for any length of time, I really can't talk about anything that you don't already have a familiar background in. Correct? Come on now, amen? Is that not true? Oh, yeah. Well, what is the challenge to it all? So, see, this is the power of God. It's the power of God that meets us where we are with his word. That's why Peter says he hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's meeting you where you are right now with his word and instructing your heart. And see, that's what we talk about with this idea of energizing. We have many ad campaigns that take place. Probably one of the most, they do all these little jingles so you remember this stuff all the time, right? We live in a society where you're looked at as consumers and everybody wants to sell you something, they want the product. But one of the ones that I remember is that Energizer Bunny, don't you? right? And they've done some really quirky stuff with it. But you have to admit, I wonder, you know, if we could picture a big battery sticking out of my back right now. Right? And that battery would not be manufactured by man. That battery would be the power of God. The power of God in your life. The power of God in my life. You know, a lot of times like this is that we don't live in tight enough community to know each other well enough that we can meet each other's needs. But do you realize this? God knows you perfectly. God knows every need you have right now perfectly. I'm not talking about need, whether it be a hot dog today for lunch or a piece of pizza or a nice salad. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your need to live a life that's pleasing in His sight. Amen? A scriptural life. He knows what that is. And you know what He's doing right now? Diligently. That's what we're going to talk about in the next couple weeks. Diligently. He is providing that provision. Matter of fact, He is working all things to confront you and me with a life that might bring honor and glory to His name. That's what it says. Exactly. That's what God's Word says. And so, I was thinking something there, and I forgot it. Isn't that something? I was finishing up that one thought. But here's the thing. The order is this. First, life, and then a godly walk. That's always the order. Do you know Christ as your Savior? That's what He says. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Here's what I want you to realize. Salvation is not fire insurance. Salvation is not judgment insurance. Salvation, people say, well, I want to get saved because I don't want to go to hell. I'll tell you what, I don't know anybody wants to go to hell that's in their right mind. I had a couple of I worked with some college students that liked to, they had Christian parents and they wanted to rattle the cage every once in a while with their parents. Oh, I don't care if I go to hell. And I said, you know what, you will care. But that's just big talk. But I know some people have done some pretty drastic measures to get people to realize they're going to hell. I could put a garbage can up here and put some bricks underneath it, get Jimmy to help me so I don't burn the thing down. We could start a fire in here, smoke the whole room up, and get in trouble with the trustees, say, you want to burn like this? And people, well, hell is real. People without Christ do die and go to hell. And yes, when you receive Christ, you do miss hell. But you know what? When you receive Christ as your Savior, God has made provision that we might have a life that's lived to His honor and glory, a life of godliness, a life of holiness, words that we don't even use anymore. If we use them, oh, don't go down to First Baptist. They talk about stuff like that. Oh, yeah, that's right. See, here's the thing. The order is this. First life, then a godly life. It's always this. The baby's born, the baby grows. Let me ask you something. Where you are right now, have you named the name of Christ? Are you growing? If you're not growing, maybe you've not named the name of Christ. Maybe you've not trusted Christ. Amen? I'm not here to get you to doubt your salvation. I'm only here to proclaim God's Word. And God says, notice this, and once again, I'm going back to my beginning. Here is one of these all things passages. He has given to us all things that pertain. And that's an incredible thought. Turn back here. I'm still in Romans, talking about the power of God. But He says this. And so what I did now for verse 3 is to just, you say, boy, we're going to be here a while. No, this is really just looking ahead. I've just introduced this. Because we're going to take this passage for the next couple weeks and look at some things. Okay, God's provision includes, first of all, the new life we receive at conversion. That's His provision. For God so loved the world, John wrote in chapter 3. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that a wonderful passage? That's because God has given us the provision of life. we receive new life and conversion. Passage after passage after passage describes that new life. Once again, I already quoted, but Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God's provision includes this new life. B, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is what we're talking about. Is the Holy Spirit working in your life right now? You say, well, what do you mean? Well, a lot of times what he does is he works in our life. And the Bible says, Jesus said in his Gospels, as he was preparing to leave, he said, you know what? The Holy Spirit's coming. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's not going to speak of himself. He's not going to draw attention to himself. He is going to guide you into truth. Are you being guided right now? Am I being guided into truth? See, I think that's a positive thing. Because a lot of times when we think about the Holy Spirit, we think about conviction. Oh, people do this. Oh, Pastor, you really stepped on my toes today. But what happens if I don't step on your toes? Now watch this. The Holy Spirit is still guiding you into truth. Amen? He's helping you to rightly divide the Scriptures, because the Bible says that if I rightly divide the Scriptures according to 2 Timothy, I will be a workman that's not ashamed. That I will be maturing in my walk. Not bringing pride in my life, but bringing humility in my life, because Christ demonstrated a humble spirit according to Paul as he wrote to the church at Philippi. Now here's the thing. And then that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then the instruction of the Word of God. We talked about that last week. Hearers opposed to doers. Can you sit in a church service and say, the other week I didn't even tell any funny stories. Isn't that something? Did you go home disappointed? Pastor's not as funny today. Right? But here's the thing. Is God's Word instructing your life? If it isn't, there's something wrong. I got a text from Pastor Binkley up at Bakerburg Community Church. Oh, by the way, listen to this. He's decided that if they'll vote him in, he's going to be the pastor. Isn't that wonderful? That's great. He's no longer going to be an intern pastor, and so they're going to mention that after the service this morning. So don't tell anybody, okay? But pray for him, okay? Because they got to do vote at the end of the month. He gets a hold of me and he says, you got to listen to my message from last week. And he said, instead of listening to the whole message, just go on the thing and go. And he told me the numbers to look for. So I, being the great man of God, I went right there. But anyways, you know what he said? He was preaching a sermon on loving the brother. And he was stuck. Now listen to this. Now this is a God thing. This is God working in his life. And he was just sharing with you. And he shared this in his sermon. He said he was trying to define agape love. And he goes, I got one of those sermon brain freezers. He goes, I couldn't even think. So he goes, when I don't think, I waste time. Listen to this. He's cleaning out some of the desk drawers that I didn't clean out. I looked at him. I didn't want anything in there. Let him have it. He said he was going through stuff. And he says, well, Dave wouldn't want this. Dave wouldn't want that. And at the bottom of the pile, he finds a handwritten sermon that I put underneath there. And you know what it said? You know what it was? On 1 Corinthians 13, love defined. He said, I can't believe it. He goes, I'm going to give you some Brother Dave quotes. And he said, he named at the top, when I preached the sermon and everything. And he said to me, he said, you know what? God knew exactly what I needed. Isn't that wonderful? See, we look at it and we say, but you know what? God knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what I need. Amen? And He wants to meet that need. I'm not talking about health, wealth, prosperity, gospel. I'm talking about our daily walk with Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? And then number four, I just threw this in because this is so powerful. See, we don't go to the priest. We experience the high priestly work of Christ. We'll talk about that another time. But that's what we have. We go to Christ. He is our high priest. Amen? We can come to Him. Where do you find your security? Where do you find that? And you know what? Here's the thing. You find your security in the one who makes the provisions for you. And God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. As we begin to look at this passage, I trust you know Christ is your Savior. But also, if you know Him as your Savior, that you are experiencing in your life, and we call this, as little kids, growing pains, right? Growing pains. Let's pray.